Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek says he has secured majority support for his centre-right cabinet in Friday's confidence vote in the lower house. The Speaker of the lower house, Miloslav Vlček, may postpone his resignation until after Friday's confidence vote. And a 43-year-old homosexual has won a landmark job discrimination court case. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek says he has secured majority support for his centre-right cabinet in Friday's confidence vote in the lower house. Mr. Topolánek, who is said to have met secretly with a number of Social Democrat deputies on Monday, said, according to Tuesday's Lidové Noviny, that he had managed to secure the extra vote needed, although he refused to disclose any details for fear that the respective individual or individuals would be hounded. The head of the Social Democrats, Parubek, claims the Prime Minister is bluffing. Due to the even division of power in the lower house, the centre-right cabinet needs support from at least one left-wing deputy. Meanwhile, the Speaker of the lower house, Social Democrat MP Miloslav Vlček, says he may postpone his resignation, originally planned for Wednesday, until after Friday's confidence vote. The Social Democrats announced last week they wanted Mr. Vlček's resignation and the election of a new speaker to be put on the agenda of Wednesday's session of the lower house. They proposed Mr. Vlček's re-election. The right-wing parties have criticized the move, saying that the Social Democrats were trying to get the upper hand in the lower house in view of a possible third attempt at forming a government should the centre-right government fail to win Friday's confidence vote. The Speaker of the lower house has the right to nominate the Prime Minister-designate in a third attempt to form a government. According to a poll just out, 59% of Czechs disapprove of the scandal surrounding the Prime Minister's private life. 55% of respondents said they did not like the fact that the Prime Minister had built his election campaign around family values at a time when he already had a mistress. Only 15% said this was normal election campaign strategy. The Prime Minister recently announced he was leaving his wife for his mistress, who is expecting a baby. A Czech court has ordered a fitness club to pay 70,000 crowns in damages and apologize to a 43-year-old homosexual man whom it failed to employ because of his sexual orientation. Lech Sidor said the fitness club promised him the job but backed out when it emerged that he was gay. In a private interview with Sidor, the club's manager allegedly told him he could not risk having a gay masseur making passes at the club's male clients. In the court hearings, the manager claimed he had found a more qualified candidate for the position. This is the first time that a Czech court has recognized discrimination on the grounds of sexual preference. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. Today, sentences are handed down in probably the biggest case of organized crime in the Czech Republic. 38 years ago today, student Jan Palach set himself on fire to rouse his compatriots from apathy in a country occupied by Soviet troops. And William Gregg, the Scottish soldier whose voice called on the Allies to come and help defend Prague in the final days of World War II, has died. In Talking Point today, we look at the new road tolls. Do the drawbacks outweigh the benefits? Please stay with us. Sentences were handed out on Monday in what has been described as one of the biggest cases of organized crime in the Czech Republic, that of the so-called Berdych Gang, an infamous criminal grouping named after alleged ringleader David Berdych. On Monday, 19 members of the gang, including former police officers, were given a total of 118 years in prison for crimes including kidnapping, armed robbery and criminal conspiracy. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Monday, January 15th, one of the guilty parties shouts in denial before being led away, following rulings in one of the biggest organized crime cases in Czech history. 19 found guilty in the Berdych gang case. Sentences given ranged from less than 10 to up to 14 years in prison, amounting to a total of 118 years. Most notoriously, two of those found guilty were former police officers with the country's anti-organized crime unit, who were supposed to have been investigating the gang, but switched sides. In the years 1999 to 2001, they helped the gang cover its footsteps and commit numerous crimes for a reported 30% cut of the profit. They provided members with police uniforms as well as search warrants and other documents. Posing as police commandos, gang members were able to arrest and kidnap Czech businessmen who were subsequently forced to raise ransoms for their release. There's little doubt it was precisely the involvement of elite police officers that enabled the gang to come up with more elaborate and daring schemes. A little earlier, I spoke to state prosecutor Tomáš Milec, involved in the case.
Dva z těch policistů byli soudem uznáni vinnými za přímý...
Two policemen who were found guilty actively took part in the crimes and had a direct impact. They helped point out potential victims among a certain group of businessmen. They also provided uniforms and police documents, and I think most importantly, they promised to help gang members by informing them about or helping to thwart police investigations. It's understood that police involvement in a case like this one makes it easier for a gang to commit crimes and makes it harder to accumulate evidence. There's also a great impact on the public's trust, as the public counts on the police to protect them. At the same time, I do think that this case was highly unusual.
In all, some 50 people were charged in a number of cases in connection with the gang's activities, and not all verdicts have been delivered. Those sentenced on Monday have already lodged an appeal. Also, the latest ruling did not in any way impact gang leader David Berdych, found guilty earlier for armed robbery and given a 15-year maximum sentence. He has also been found guilty of numerous other crimes. Looking back, the gang's legacy is a gruesome one, illegally accumulating the equivalent of $4.6 million through dozens of criminal acts targeting various individuals. Not all of those targeted escaped with their lives. One man died after being repeatedly run over by a car. In another case, a victim's body has never been found.
Tuesday marks the 38th anniversary of the self-immolation of Jan Palach, the young student whose suicide transformed him into a symbol of Czechoslovak resistance following the 1968 Soviet-led invasion. Jan Palach would have turned 59 this year had he not taken his own life. His legacy, however, lives on. Rob Cameron has this report.
On January the 16th, 1969, a 20-year-old student from Prague's philosophy faculty set off for Wenceslas Square, the city's biggest thoroughfare. The country was still under occupation by Soviet troops 5 months after the invasion. The purge of reformers within the ranks of Czechoslovakia's Communist Party, a purge which gradually fanned out to all areas of society, had begun. But worst of all, thought Jan Palach, Czechoslovaks were becoming apathetic and demoralized. To rouse them from their apathy, he decided to burn himself to death in public. The late Yaroslava Mozerova, doctor, translator and politician, was among the first to treat Jan Palach after he was brought to hospital. His death 3 days later left an indelible mark on her life, and from that moment on until her own death last year, Yaroslava Mozerova tirelessly carried Jan Palach's legacy, explaining to journalists, politicians and ordinary people what he had done and why he had done it. Here she is talking to Radio Prague in 2003.
I was one of those who did the first care, who cleaned the burnt areas. Of course, I shall never forget it, nor the days that followed. We were all very unhappy, not only over his fate, but the fate of the nation, because he did it for the nation. And I think that was clear for everyone from the very first. I wasn't with him when he was being taken upstairs to the intensive care unit, but one of the nurses that was with him said that he kept repeating, please tell everyone why I did it, please tell everyone. The reason why he did it was quite clear. It was not so much in opposition to the Soviet occupation, but the demoralization which was setting in. The people who were not only giving up, but giving in. And he wanted to stop that demoralization. The multitude of people in the street, silent, with sad eyes, serious faces, which, when you looked at those people, you understood that everyone understands. All the decent people who are on the verge of making compromises, I'm sure. It certainly had a huge impact on young people and students. What I regret very deeply is that so many people seem to be forgetting the atmosphere of the time and what he did.
Jan Palach's funeral became a focal point for opposition to the occupation, as Czechoslovaks mourned not only a bright and talented student, but their own lost sovereignty. A month later, another student, Jan Zajíc, burned himself to death on the same spot, and more suicides followed. Historians are divided as to the effect of Palach's suicide. In January 1989, thousands of demonstrators gathered on Wenceslas Square to mark the 20th anniversary of his death. The regime's brutal crackdown of the protest was a dress rehearsal for the Velvet Revolution of November 1989. Later on Tuesday, a small ceremony will be held at the philosophy faculty, where former teachers and fellow students will remember Jan Palach and what he did one day in January, 38 years ago.
Rob Cameron there with that report. The appeal Voláme všechny Čechy, or Calling All Czechs, is one of the best-known recordings from the days of the Second World War in the Czech radio archives. On the 61st anniversary of the Prague uprising last year, we broadcast a report on one of the unsung heroes of the May events, a Scottish soldier who read an English version of the appeal on the air from this very building on Vinohradská Street in Prague. The man was William Gregg, an escaped Scottish prisoner of war. He took part in the fighting in the early days of May 1945, in which over 3,000 Czechs lost their lives before the Red Army finally entered the city. The sad news has reached us that Mr. William Gregg passed away on Monday. As a tribute to Mr. Gregg, we now bring you David Vaughan's report from last year on the part Mr. Gregg played in the last days of the German occupation of Czechoslovakia.
The famous call for Czechs to rise up is marked in a plaque that we walk past every time we enter the radio building. But if you listen to Radio Prague regularly, there's another sound from our archives that you may well have heard us play over the years at this time of year. An escaped Scottish prisoner of war appealing for help from a studio here in the besieged radio building.
Prague is in great danger. The Germans are attacking with tanks and planes. We are calling urgently our allies to help.
I'd often wondered who this voice belonged to, how he came to be here, and whether he was still alive. So you can imagine my delight when I recently received an email from Linda McSherry in the UK, who told me that the man was her father, William Gregg. He is now old and frail, she wrote, but he is intensely proud of his contribution to the battle for the radio, and of the Czechoslovakian Military Cross that he was awarded for his services rendered. After our first exchange of emails, Linda went to see her father and asked him to recall some of his memories. Here's an extract from the letter she then sent me. We pick up the story just after her father had managed to escape from a German camp just on the Czech-German border with several other prisoners, and had befriended a Czech family.
The family fed them and gave them clothes and drove them to the railway station where they got on a train to Prague. It was arranged that friends of the family in Prague would meet them from the train, and that was where he split from two of the others, as they thought they would have a better chance of survival on their own. The family in Prague took him and his friend Tommy Vokes to the upstairs apartment in their home, where they were fed and looked after very well. At the radio, he remembers a flight of stairs with a small door, and behind the door was a tunnel. It was at the end of this tunnel where the broadcasting equipment was kept and where he made his first broadcast. He was asked to make a broadcast to the Allied troops for help, which he did.
Send immediately tanks and aircraft. Help us defend Prague.
My father and Tommy spent their days and nights guarding the radio, and my father remembers lying on the stairs with his rifle pointing at the door at the end of the tunnel. He took messages from the Czech officials to the two university buildings which German regiments were occupying, as he had picked up a limited amount of German vocabulary. He remembers on one of the days walking through a park where children were singing English songs when he was approached by someone from the radio and asked to make another broadcast to ask all American planes who were in the area to send planes to stop a huge armored column which was approaching.
At present, we are broadcasting from the broadcasting station, and outside there is a battle raging.
Later that day, whilst lying guard, he was told that the broadcast had been successful and that the armored column had been blown off the road. My father was awarded the Czechoslovakian Military Cross for services rendered in the liberation of the Republic of Czechoslovakia. He also received a letter from a friend in Czechoslovakia in 1945, saying that he should get the Radio Memory Distinguished Order. My father was quite a modest man and never pursued this claim.
William Gregg is one of many unsung heroes of the Prague Uprising, and it's thanks to people like him that you can still hear our broadcasts today.
Just a reminder, that report was first broadcast on Radio Prague on May the 5th, 2006. And now it's time for our regular feature talking point. Today, Colleen O'Connor looks at how the new road toll system is catching on in the Czech Republic.
Every second vehicle on this busy motorway outside Prague seems to be a goods lorry. This is hardly surprising given that the Czech Republic's location in the heart of Europe means that it has always been a major transit point for business. Naturally, the volume of traffic going through the Czech Republic has also increased exponentially since it joined the EU a few years ago. So much so that there are those who feel the country's transport infrastructure is creaking at the seams. Tomáš Hauptmann is a freight manager for the Morris Ward Haulage Company.
Everybody notice such a number of trucks in transit, especially in Prague. You can see the lines of trucks and makes the traffic terrible. I guess that all trucks moved from the borders, like before they were waiting there for customs clearance. They now move to Prague and waiting for just passing through Prague, and I think that the system is overburdened.
This is one of the reasons why the Czech Ministry of Transport has now followed the lead of Germany and Austria by introducing a new electronic tolling system built by the Austrian firm Kapsch to tax trucks and buses on Czech roads more efficiently. Now, any heavy vehicle travelling in the Czech Republic must be fitted with an electronic signal box, which can be read by special gates placed on Czech motorways. These calculate exactly how many kilometres a truck or bus has travelled and then charges them an appropriate road toll. It replaces the old motorway sticker system, which charged drivers a flat charge for using Czech roads, regardless of how many kilometres they travelled. Karel Henzelka, a spokesman for the Ministry of Transport, says it was necessary to introduce a new system like this in order to handle the sheer volume of freight traffic now passing through the Czech Republic.
Samozřejmě si musíme uvědomit to, že Česká republika leží skutečně ve středu Evropy a
naturally, we need to realize that the Czech Republic really lies in the heart of Europe, and we simply can't avoid being a transit country. We are on the route between east and west as well as between north and south. As a result, we have to react somehow to this growth in the number of trucks, particularly since the Czech Republic's accession to the EU. We're the third country of the 27 countries in the EU who have introduced an electronic tolling system, and the first one of the accession countries to do so. I think the system we have in place has been set up well.
Nových členských států Evropské unie, takže myslím si, že ta situace je zatím nastavená dobře.
Nevertheless, although the system has only been operating for a couple of weeks, it has already attracted much controversy. Some hauliers complain that the new tolls will make their operations prohibitively expensive, while others have said fitting their trucks with the new equipment has been a laborious and costly process. Tomáš Hauptmann, however, says his firm has not experienced any major problems with the new system.
It was actually quite easy because there was enough information in advance on the internet, also in the Czech media, and you can get the equipment at the petrol station, also in some special spots. There are two kinds of payments, so you can buy credit for a certain journey or also make a contract with the company. You can get invoices. You don't have to worry about tracking the kilometers or whatever. So it was quite easy. our company bought all this equipment in advance, so now we can just use the highways without any problems.
Houtman also says the new tolls won't make his company's operations more expensive, as they will simply pass any extra charges on to their customers, in much the same way as they pass on other duties like VAT. Nevertheless, in a business as competitive as freight transport, there are bound to be some who will attempt to keep their prices down by trying to avoid paying the tolls. One way of doing this is to get their drivers to use secondary or local roads, as the toll gates have only been placed on the Czech Republic's motorways. This has given rise to concerns that a sudden upsurge in the number of trucks on secondary routes could cause major damage to these smaller roads and seriously disrupt life in the little towns and villages they pass through. Although Karol Hanzelka acknowledges these concerns, he feels the situation will not be as bad as some have predicted.
Ano, zpočátku se objevilo určité malé procento řidičů, kteří chtěli spoplatněné úseky objíždět, ale
It's true that a small percentage of drivers wanted to evade the tolls by taking detours from the main roads, but the experience of Austria shows that they too had drivers who tried to evade tolls in this way, but they eventually discovered that it wasn't worth their while. This is because nowadays the speed at which you can deliver goods is of the utmost importance. This means that if a driver takes local roads, it's going to slow him down, and he'll be late with his deliveries. It's also tough on the trucks, because they'll often have to drive along hilly terrain with lots of bends, which will have an impact on their running costs.
Třeba hornatým spousta zatáček a tak dále, takže se to odrazí i v těchto nákladech.
Tomáš Houtman also agrees that sending his trucks down secondary roads to avoid road tolls would simply be a false economy.
Our company doesn't do that, because I guess it doesn't save you much money because it's not so fast. You made more kilometers. Also, if many companies make decision like this, they could make more accidents on the small roads. I heard in the Czech news that some companies are sending the drivers to other roads than highways. So we will see. Our company makes especially just-in-time delivery, so doesn't make sense to save some money, some small money, on secondary road and deliver the goods too late.
Another criticism which has surfaced in the press and on numerous websites is that the signal boxes can be covered in foil, which means that they can't be read by the toll gates. Karol Hanzelka says claims that it would be this simple to avoid paying the tolls are completely unfounded.
Podle informací, které mám od společnosti Kapsch, nejde odstínit a některé z těch mýtných...
According to the information that we have from Kapsch, it is not actually possible to block the signal to these boxes. Also, our road toll gates have cameras to check drivers and they can immediately detect someone who is traveling without a signal box. It is a system with extensive apparatus to expose drivers like this. The customs authorities have 25 mobile radars available to them, which are constantly monitoring Czech motorways. Sooner or later, a driver who is evading the road tolls is going to be caught and hit with a huge fine of €500,000.
With an estimated 8 lorries passing through one of Kapsch's toll gates every second, the revenues generated by the new road tolls are quite substantial and should amount to around €10 billion, or $470 million annually, a tenfold increase on the state's previous road toll income. Although most of these funds are currently being used to pay Kapsch back for building the system, they will eventually be channeled into improving the Czech Republic's road infrastructure. The Ministry of Transport also hopes that the tolls will eventually encourage some hauliers to transport goods by rail in the Czech Republic. This should be both better for the environment and should ease the strain on the country's still incomplete motorway system. Although it's not without its critics, and a full audit of the efficiency of the new tolling system has yet to be completed, Tomáš Hauptmann is optimistic that it will eventually bring long-term benefits.
I think it's a good thing, because if it helps our road system, it would be good for everyone. If you have smooth roads, everybody would drive safely, and you don't have to worry about car accident, because some roads are very damaged, especially during the rain, because the trucks are too heavy and making potholes.
Tomáš Hauptmann, ending that report, that edition of Talking Point, I'm sorry, by Colleen O'Connor. And that brings us to the end of the program today. You can tune in again tomorrow, same time, same frequency. If you'd like to go back to the stories broadcast on Radio Prague, you'll find them all at www.radio.cz, both in sound and text. The address for your questions and comments is english@radio.cz, that's english@radio.cz, or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, it's goodbye and thanks for listening.